Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. It's good to be back. It's been a couple of weeks since I last had the great opportunity to talk with you. So a lot has gone on, so let's just get started. We just found out on Friday, September 18th, we lost a true American hero, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, passed away after battling, had a long time battling cancer. She was 87 years old. She was an amazing individual. She, despite her illnesses, she was still on the court, coming to work and fighting for the people. It wasn't about who was the president or any, not, you know, for organizations, dark money. She was truly a stalwart of true justice. And we lost someone that was that will be missed, and who was truly a remarkable individual. As you know, that she was in dead 24 hours before, you know, Donald Trump and the Republicans are talking about hurrying up and get somebody confirmed. This is once again show you how heartless and how it's all about politics. It's not about people. It's not about humans. You know, once you lose your soul, you can't get it back. And I think when you look and see what some people on the Republican side, on the political side, of doing this, you know, here we go. If you be back in 2014, when Obama was trying to get an individual confirmed before the 2016 election, the Republicans said, "Oh, absolutely not. It's not right. That should be left to the American people. It's absolutely positively wrong." And they went on this for months. And now, lo and behold, they are in that same situation. It's like, "Oh, no, we're going to hurry up and get our person confirmed before the election." And it's just, you know, just the hypocrisy. But the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is that they do these things because they know that overall, Americans, the American people, you really don't care. And then when it happens, then you care. It's like, it's too late now. You had an opportunity to stand and fight, and you didn't. If it's anything that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg taught us, was to fight. No matter how insurmountable the battle may be, you fight. She was the embodiment of brilliance and strength and courage and integrity. She's a great legal mind, and her jurisprudence was second to none. But for me, most importantly, Justice Ginsburg will be remembered for leading the fight for equality and justice for all Americans. We're losing individuals like her. So where are the people to stand up and say, "Thank you. Thank you, Justice Ginsburg. I'll take it from here. Thank you. I'm going to take it from here, and I'm going to continue to run with the baton until someone else. When I can no longer finish the race, I'll pass it on to someone else." Justice Ginsburg was small in stature, but she was a giant for equality and justice for all. Thank you, Justice Ginsburg. Rest in peace. You've earned it. Tonight's show, we talk about, tonight's show is entitled Lies, Lies, and Racial Privilege. So Donald Trump got into a lot of trouble again when he actually interviewed with Bob Woodward several months back about the pandemic, how bad this pandemic was going to be. And this week he kept, you know, echoing Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt, you know, to talk about as if, you know, he was doing like they were doing. Well, here's what Winston Churchill said during World War II. This was Winston Churchill speaking to the House of Commons of Parliament and the British citizens on the evening on the eventual bombing of the country by the Nazis. He said, "We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the sea." Franklin Roosevelt said after Pearl Harbor was attacked, "So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert, retreat, and advance." And this is Donald Trump lying to America, but telling Bob Woodward the truth in February regarding how horrible and destructive COVID-19 is. "This is 5 times worse than the flu. That's always tougher than the touch, you know. The touch, you don't have to touch things." What the hell was he talking about? I mean, I'm glad that Bob Woodward knew what he was talking about, because a 6-year-old wouldn't even know what he was talking about. See, the difference between Roosevelt and Churchill and Trump was that Roosevelt and Churchill were completely honest with the people about how tough the role was going to be. Trump did what he's been doing since birth. He lied to the American people. I have this thing now where I no longer call people a liar when it's warranted. When they get caught, I say simply, "You just told a Trump." As I said, he lies all the time. He said that Winston Churchill had stood on a roof while the Nazis was bombing, telling the people to keep calm, everything is going to be fine. Now, I get the Trumpers, no matter what this moron says, they're going to believe. But to the rest of the, to the intelligent Americans, think about that for a minute. The Nazis are bombing England inexplicably. They're just dropping bombs. They're not targeting anything particular. That's what happens when you drag a country into war. When you're invaded, they don't pick out strategic areas. What they do is they say, bomb where the majority of people at, because we want to bomb them into submission. That if the generals and the captains and, you know, everybody that's going to war, the people that start the war or engage in the war, the generals and so forth, they might be somewhere safe in a bunker, but not the ordinary citizens. So if we can't get the generals to come to the table, then the citizens will get them to come to the table. Winston Churchill was not on no building. He was not standing on no roof. Because if that's the case, he's standing on the roof, and what, the English people, the citizens, I should say, were standing there listening to him while the bombs were being dropped? This guy tells the type of lies, and I said this 2 weeks ago on this show, he tells lies that a six-year-old can debunk. That never happened. He lies. From the Atlantic Journal, the Washington Post, CNN, and even Fox News confirmed that reliable sources said that Trump called citizens in America's military suckers and losers. Of course, Trump said he never made those statements, but of course, he's lying. No matter what you thought of Senator John McCain, no matter what you thought of his policies, John McCain is a war hero. He's a war hero. Here's a guy whose plane was shot down, 2 broken arms, he was a POW, he was tortured, the whole nine. Then when the Viet Cong found out who his father was, they said, "Well, hey, you know, you got some juice. So, you know, We don't want to have that issue. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you go ahead on home. Go ahead on home and, you know, do what you, whatever it is you do. We're not going to, you know, we ain't going to torture you no more. John McCain told them no. He told his captors no. He said, no, I tell you what you can do, though. Let the other POWs go home. I'll stay. You know, the captor said, the Viet Cong said, well, you do know that we're going to go back to torture you. He said, I understand. You got to do what you got to do, and I got to do what I have to do. But I can't go home knowing that the POWs are still here in the same prison with me. So the Viet Cong sent them home. John McCain stayed and continued to be tortured. That's a hero. That's a hero. But Trump didn't think so. He still doesn't think so. He said McCain was captured, so he can't be a war hero. That's what Trump said. He said he can't be a war hero because he got caught. Trump further said he likes soldiers who were not captured. He likes soldiers who were not captured. Think on that for a second. Because America, just what the Vietnam War, had thousands of soldiers that was captured, that were POWs. So to all those former POWs who may have voted for Trump, he doesn't think you're heroes because you were captured. You're suckers and losers for saying, I'm willing to suit up and go into war to fight for the freedoms of America, or I'm willing to suit up and go fight with our allies for freedom. Now, we know that can be that you know, if we go deeper, we know it's not just that while they're fighting. The soldier who charges the hill, they're fighting for true freedom. But in many instances, those who are sending you to war, they're not really thinking about that. But here, once again, is an individual who believes that you're not worth that. You're not worth doing for it. He lies over and over again. He talked about doing more for the military than any other president, which is just flat out, that's a lie. He talked about, oh, when he came into office, that you know, the military was in shambles. Really? In shambles? Of all the different departments in the United States that get funding every year, the military gets the most money. And Dwight Eisenhower, General Eisenhower the first, on his last couple of months in office before he moved on, he said about be careful of the military complex, that we should not be investing in the kind of money in building our military up over and over again, because what happens is we lose focus. He wasn't saying don't invest and put money into the military. He said, but just don't make it to a point where it's the majority of the money is going to just that. Take care of our soldiers. Absolutely. But make sure that the rest of the country doesn't suffer. Donald Trump doesn't get that. And he never will. He never will. So when you listen to what this guy is saying, he lies all the time. He lies all the time, ladies and gentlemen. So he knew about the COVID. He knew how horrific it was going to be. And he did nothing. And here's something for you to think about. It's September 20th, 2020, and he's still talking about people need to open up all the businesses back up. Kids need to go to school. Colleges need to open up, despite the fact that there are a large number of coronaviruses, you know, cases have increased. He keeps saying it's not, but they have. You know, it fluctuates anywhere between 700 live people die a day, 7 to 1,000 people die a day. Trump looked at that as a success. Like, oh, we're only 700 people. Jared Kushner said on CNN, when Wolf Blitz, he said, oh, we're 700 today. He said, well, it doesn't matter. It's 700 people dying. And the bottom line is that they still haven't done anything. Now they're talking about vaccines that's going to be, you know, created in October. Every reputable scientist have said that's not going to happen. I wish it did, but we know it doesn't happen. If you guys remember my shows early this year, right after the coronavirus, and I talked about how is that in the 21st century, it still takes years and years and years before we develop a vaccine. Well, it took for me to sit down and really talk to the scientists, and they said, Anthony, this is how it is. We get it. It's 2020, but we can't just create something and hope that it happens and people will be okay. There's a great deal of tests that must take place. It must. Trump lied from day one, and he still lies. He keeps saying that, oh, yes, the COVID virus will eventually disappear. Well, yeah, anything that will eventually disappear, but it doesn't mean it's going to disappear in the next, you know, year or two. So, yeah, right. That idiotic narrative, okay, it's going to disappear, but how after it's done, how many people have died? How many people have been gravely affected by it? Why don't they just do this? Give me a number, because we're approaching 200,000, and we're going to be beyond that quick. So 200,000, 300,000, a million. Mr. Trump, give me a number so I don't have to keep asking you month after month, when are you going to do something? He talks about this. The herd immunity is a possibility. Then he says, no, that's not an option. And finally, he comes back and says, well, maybe it is a possibility. Let me tell you briefly what the herd immunity is. Sweden tried this and had dire consequences. In essence, they're saying, Trump is saying, don't do anything. Just let everybody get it. Whoever died, they were weak. And sucker and loser, because that's basically what a herd immunity is. And those who live, all right, you built up an immunity to it. Well done, well done. To hear a president talk like that in the 21st century, hell, to hear a president talk like that in any century, any other time would get that individual not just removed from the presidency, but removed from the country. A bag will be packed, but no. You can't even stay here in America. That's what the herd immunity is, ladies and gentlemen. It's basically just let everybody catch it, and let's see who lives and let's see who dies. Then a doctor named, one of his doctors, because he done picked this guy over Dr. Fauci, this guy named Atlas, who's not even, who deals with that viruses and so forth. He says, oh, well, we should just, they double talk. He said, well, I didn't say herd immunity, but if we did do herd immunity, I mean, we would protect the senior citizens and then just, oh, so you do believe in it. And who are we kidding, ladies and gentlemen? Let's stop. They are not going to be protecting the senior citizens. I think there are some people in this country hate the fact that senior citizens in this country are living longer. They're living longer. They're living past 80. We're seeing a growth in senior citizens living into their 90s, into their early 100s. You don't think that bothers some people? Hell yes, it does. It's sick that it bothers them, but yeah, they feel that way. Retirement, 70 plus years old. It's like every few years they try to raise the retirement age because it's like, damn, these people aren't dying fast enough. It's frightening. And yet here we are. Trump continues to lie about this coronavirus. But the good thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we all know the truth. Honestly, many of us already knew the truth back in March. I heard them talking about this back in January. And I said, man, I really hope they're going to do something about this. And the president was in a position to do something, and he did. He failed. Now, once again, it doesn't matter what I say to those who support Trump. They're going to support him no matter what. racial privilege in this country continues, you know, under Trump's leadership in this country, continues to heighten. Racism in this country continues to heighten. Racist white supremacist groups continue to heighten. I know some people talk about white privilege, you know, and a lot of white people out there get upset when we have that discussion. And I understand that, that hearing the word white privilege creates a discomfort among those who are used to be who are used to being defined or described by their race. The word privilege, especially for poor and rural whites, sounds like a word that doesn't even belong to them, like a word that suggests they have never struggled. White privilege is not the suggestion that white people have never struggled. Many white people do not enjoy the privileges that come from relative affluence, such as food security. Many do not experience the privileges that come with access, such as nearby hospitals. And ladies and gentlemen, white privilege is not the assumption that everything a white person has accomplished is unearned. Most white people who have reached a high level of success work extremely hard to get there. Instead, white privilege should be viewed as a built-in advantage separate from one's level of income or effort. When you see white people walking to a Target around the country, no mask on. Matter of fact, coming in and telling people, take their mask on. There's no arrest. There's nothing that happens to them. And then they leave out and go on to some other store. That's white privilege. If black people did that, what do you think is going to happen? Hell, even those racists who I go back and forth with have said, yeah, we understand that if you know, let's be honest, if you niggas go in stores like that, you know what's going to happen. Y'all ain't going to make it out of there. Or you do make it out there, you're going to make it out there in a body bag. That's privilege. That's white privilege. Yeah. Racial privilege also is having a positive relationship with the police. I have seen white people, ordinary citizens, will fight and punch and kick and scream and spit at a police officer, and the police officers don't arrest them. Black person can't even move, you know, in a direction that they deem dangerous without being shot at. You got an attorney general Barr who's basically said, you know, wearing a mask, telling people that they have to stay in the house and wear a mask is akin to slavery. This tone deaf, babbling buffoon. But what he's doing is he's using privilege. He's using white privilege to stoke the embers of hatred in this country. White privilege is also of learning about, you know, white, you know, history. Talk about the Christopher Columbuses and stuff like that, who discovered America, which he didn't. And then when we say he didn't discover America, now we're looked at it as, oh, Anthony, you're a racist against Italians. No, not at all. I am saying that this, Christopher Columbus didn't discover, no, he didn't discover America. Discovering a country of this, it's like, how are you going to discover something when it was already inhabited? That's like me coming into your house today and say, wow, look at this beautiful home. I've discovered this beautiful home. I think I'm going to move in right now. Although you and your family are sitting there looking at me like I got two heads, and rightfully so. Like, what do you mean you discovered it? We're here. The Native Americans were already here. In some parts of this country at one point in time, some of the Native American tribes had been here for 10,000 years. White privileges of attending segregated schools of affluence. My son said something to me recently that we had a long discussion with, because he talked about, you know, sending, you know, he said, if I have kids, I'm going to send my kids to, like, you know, like white schools. And I'm like, I was puzzled. I said, well, I don't understand what that means. So I'm explaining that. He said, well, you know, a lot of the schools that have African-American and Latinos and other people of color, those schools are pretty bad. Now, that was kind of shocking to me because my son, he always attended multicultural schools. So it wasn't predominantly white. Matter of fact, the schools that he normally attended was predominantly more African-American and Latino. than any of the groups, although it was a multicultural school. His classmates were all of different ethnic backgrounds. But unfortunately, there are images in this country that basically say, yeah, go to white affluent schools are better than all schools, when we know that's just not the case. But you don't have enough people out in the media to say, we can't have that attitude. So once that was explained to him, he said, no, I understand what you're saying, Dad. And you're absolutely right. So every so often, you got to have conversations with your children about these things. The privilege of soaking in media blatantly biased toward white people. You see a black person or a person of color commit a crime, they got their mug shot. They look like they ate the whole family. Same crime committed by a white person, they got them in a suit, they got them smiling. It's an image that people are like, oh, that can't be Johnny. So it's not so much as white people walking around thinking that they are better than it is our society is teaching them that. So it's being done in their homes in some instances. And then they turn on the TV, and there you go. Your privilege of playing colorblind, wiping the slate clean of centuries of racism. Just, you know, I'm colorblind. I don't see color. I've had one person say that to me, and I said, then you don't see me. You can't look at Anthony Johnson and say, I don't see color. I see a man. No, I'm a black man. I'm a black man. That just doesn't sound, that's just not correct. Even in an alternate universe, you don't see color. So you're going through life being colorblind? No. I mean, I want you to judge me on the content of my character, but I also want you to acknowledge me as a black man of integrity. That's important to me. I can't speak for everyone else, but that's important to me. So, ladies and gentlemen, as this election approaches, we got a choice to make. Do we continue this craziness, or do we make some wholesale changes? We got to make some wholesale changes. I hope you feel the same way that I feel. I end this show tonight with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, Trump supporters were on the campus of my beloved Cheney University. Let me be clear. Trump supporters had no right to be on Cheney University campus to spew hate, and yet that's exactly what they did. Now, if they came on campus to respectfully give their view on Trump would be a better choice, that's fine. I, Anthony Johnson, class of 1995 at Cheney University, would have no issue with that. I welcome that, and I'm sure our wonderful and outstanding students at Cheney University would have welcomed that. But that's not what they did. They came on air to spew hate. They didn't have a permit. Trump supporters came on campus without a permit. And Trump supporters felt privileged and arrogantly went on the oldest historically African-American university to disrupt the students by hurling racial slurs and anti-LGBTQ hate speech. This is America. Hate is truly having its day in the sun, and the Pied Piper of hate just so happened to be a resident at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Good night.